started and we'll be off. Okay, welcome everyone. Welcome. I'm so glad you're all here. This is Manakasha with createyourownrealitynow.com, and I'm very pleased to have you here. This is something I'm very excited about, this call, because it's just a passion of mine, and I am going to just all day long, in fact, all week long, I have been talking to people, and I've every day, even just within the last hour, I've been on the phone with three or four different people, and I'm just amazed, and well, not really. I'm continually seeing how everyone is going through very, very similar experiences, very, very similar challenges. And boy, I think that what happens is a lot of us really feel like we're alone. So this call is called How to Choose the Perfect Home-Based Business for You. And the reason that I got the inspiration for this was for several reasons. If you know anything about me, this may be a repeat, but I'll quickly go over my background for the people who are new. And I've been in business for myself for about 26 years now. I have had several different businesses, very big, very involved, very expensive businesses, very small, one-person businesses. So I have a lot of experience in different types of businesses. And I'm going to go over that in a minute, kind of the variety that I've been through. I love working for myself. That just suits my personality. I'm highly motivated when I get to do what I want to do and when I want to do it. So I much prefer working for myself because I don't have a problem, you know, saying you better work now. You know, I had a girlfriend who told me years and years ago, you know, I watch you and you're starting these businesses and it sounds so interesting and exciting. But I honestly, when I think about it, I think if I was sitting home alone without, you know, a company, a business around me, you know, kind of motivating me and keeping me accountable, I think I'd just sit around and watch TV all day. And that's definitely not my problem. First of all, I don't like TV. I don't watch much of it. I definitely don't watch the news, and I highly recommend not watching the news. I heard somebody call CNN the other day the channel of negative news, and I thought, no kidding. You know, none of these people are helping anyone. However, I don't have a problem being motivated when I'm able to do something that I love and something that I'm passionate about. Now, have I started businesses where I've had to do things that are challenging and difficult, things I don't know how to do, things that push me out of my comfort zone or scare me? Absolutely. But that's another reason why I absolutely love working for myself. Now, all my businesses, I guess, would technically be called home-based businesses. However, two of my biggest businesses, I had offices, I had factories, I had much bigger employees and that whole thing going on, but they all started in my home, and they all can be done from home. One business, probably not if you're going to get very big. So what I want to do is share tonight with people what my opinion is and my experience is on the different types of businesses you can do and the pros and cons of them. And then I'll share with you a little bit about what I'm doing right now. But first of all, I really want to start this because this just all lined up for a purpose. The universe just brought this together for an absolute purpose because I'm a wealth coach. I'm a hypnotherapist. I create meditation and audio products. I write books and I speak. I'm very honored to be speaking on a cruise in a couple weeks out of San Diego. If you're interested in that, it's called the Cruise to Transformation, and it's put on by Law of Attraction Radio Network. And if you go to my website, you'll see Law of Attraction Cruise, and you can click on there. I'm giving $100 or $150 off on that. Out of my portion of that, so you can come, and I'm also offering free coaching and a lot of really other exciting stuff. But I'm very excited about that. I love to speak. I love to do in-person events, and I haven't done a lot of them in the last couple of years because of some of the things that have happened in my life. And I've also got a book coming out in a couple of weeks that I'm very excited about. It's called Already Rich. magnetic wealth affirmations, statements of limitless potential for wealth attraction. And it's really grown into, initially I was just going to share a lot of the affirmations and information about how to use affirmations to make them effective, but it's kind of turned into a lot of my philosophy, my manifestation process and all of that. So I love doing all of that. So I like to have multiple streams of income. That's another thing, reason why this is a passion for me. I think that especially right now with what's going on in this economy, we have to recognize, we really can't avoid recognizing that it's not good to be dependent on one thing anymore. It just doesn't work. And the world is changing, absolutely changing, and not just, oh, we're in a recession or whatever else they want to call it, because I personally don't buy into that. I create my own reality and my own economy, and I'm certainly not going to agree to that. However, one thing you need to realize is that more millionaires are created in recessions than at any other time. Why is that? Because there's huge opportunity. So if you shift the way you see things, you shift the way you look at things, you're going to change your personal perspective on things, and you're going to see opportunity instead of seeing doom and gloom. Another reason not to listen to the news. So I do believe in multiple streams of income, and whether that's you have a job and then you have, you know, a part-time home-based business or whatever it is that you do, I do, you know, you invest money in whatever. There's a lot of wonderful things that you can do. Now, traditionally, real estate is a great investment. Right now, a little bit interesting, right? Traditionally, the stock market, but right now, a little bit interesting. So what is really happening right now, I think, is that the energy is shifting at a very deep core level, not just for individuals, but for the entire planet, for governments, for countries, for companies, for people. I mean, I talk to people all day long, every day, and I hear the same story almost over and over and over. In fact, it just is amazing how many people are having what I would call a complete and total deconstruction of their life. Now, some people are having partial deconstruction. Some people are crashing completely. And this is not a reflection on any of these people. What I'm trying to get across here is that this is what's happening across the board for everyone. There's a huge, huge cleansing going on. There's a complete shifting from the way we used to do things, from the way we've done things in the past, from the way that we've marketed, the way that we've worked, the way that who we've depended on. We can no longer depend on an employer. Now, that's happened for quite a while, but I think just what's happened in the last year or two has been a phenomenal experience in that. To really show us. And what I personally like, I want to be personally empowered. I want control over my life. I want to feel financially independent as well, of course, as financially free. But I want to have my time be decided by me. If I want to put in 20 hours a day because I'm passionate about my new business, then I get to do that. If I want to put in 2 hours a day, then I get to do that. So that's where I've always come from. I like to be my own boss. I like to make my own decisions. Now, there's a couple of things you got to realize if you want to work for yourself or you want to have a home-based business. What are some of the key things? Well, you definitely do have to be motivated, okay? If you tend not to really do much unless somebody is there telling you to do it, you're going to have to change that. But you know how you change it? You change it from the inside. Willpower is not the way for us to change things right now in this time, in this space. It's about getting that internal alignment. So what I talk about all the time, if you're on any of my healing calls or my other classes, you hear me talk about, is, you know, we need to shift that internal landscape. That means how we think, how we see ourselves, what we believe is possible for ourselves. And what happens when you get to do something you're really, really excited about? What happens when you get to do something that you love? What happens when you get to do something that you're creating, that you're a part of? You get so excited, you put in tons and tons of time, right? You're very, very, very interested. So somebody just asked, is this only a call or a webinar? It's not a webinar. It's the web part. It's just a webcast. There isn't a web part of it that you can see. I'm not going to be showing any video or anything, okay? I just wanted to catch that Every now and then I'll refresh the question so I can see what's going on. So we want to, when you come from doing something because you want to do it and you have to decide what those reasons are, then you don't have to force yourself out of bed in the morning. You don't have to tell yourself to go to work because you're excited about it. You learn and you do things that normally would be very challenging for you, and you're willing to put in more time and effort and all kinds of stuff. So that's the first thing that I think is very, very important is, what are you doing? Why do you want a home-based business? Why do you want a particular kind of business? What is it going to do for you? Who are you doing it for yourself or for someone else? I only recommend doing it for yourself. Now, you can do it for other people as well, but if you're not doing it for you, it's not going to be easy to sustain. And when you work for yourself, it's a really strong personal growth path. You're going to have things you're going to come up against that, you know, be challenges and ups and downs. And if you're doing it for your right reasons and for yourself, you're going to be okay. You're going to be able to move through those times and really stay steady to your dream and your vision. So, you know, my specialty is in how to change your mindset and how to align with money and how to create that vision of what you want. So all of those things are important, but make sure you're making these choices based on the right reasons for you. Now, another thing is when we decide to work for ourselves, we are empowering ourselves, but we're also saying, it's time for me to choose what I'm doing and to really know why. So you need that big why, okay? So you need to understand, why am I doing it? And I know most people's first answer is, because I need to pay the bills, because I need to pay the rent, because my house is going into foreclosure, because I might be bankrupt tomorrow, because I'm getting a divorce. I'm hearing this over and over and over all day long. Everyone is going through massive change right now, and I mean at huge levels. I have to say that at least 50%, if not more, like 75 to 80% of the people that I talk to these days are in foreclosure, going towards foreclosure, are concerned they may go to foreclosure, have been in foreclosure, are considering bankruptcy, have been laid off from work, are, you know, draining their 401ks to live. All of these things are very, very real, and they're happening for a huge number of people. So I want to just, you know, I just got off a few conversations in the last hour that impacted me so powerfully from a heart perspective. I've been through many, many challenges myself. I've been through several life deconstructions over the years that I've been around. And I have to say that each time, I don't think it's fun and I don't think it's easy, but I've always found a way to see that it was an opportunity, that there was something better waiting for me, and that there was I was moving forward, that I was letting go of something that wasn't right for me at the time. If it wasn't meant to be leaving you, it wouldn't be leaving you, okay? If you can really affirm and grasp that and really believe that, you know, if your job is ending or you've been laid off, or your company's closing, or you've had to close your own company, or you're not getting enough business, or whatever it is, expand your awareness out into thinking and feeling about, well, where am I moving towards? What does this mean in terms of something really wonderful must be waiting for me? What have I been asking for? And then if you open your awareness, see what happens is that when we perceive that something that's happening for us, like closing a business or losing a house or whatever, is a bad thing, and we focus on it because it makes us feel bad and makes us think, you know, we're a failure or something, we're not able to expand our awareness out and start to look for the new opportunities. What it really means is you're letting go. You're clearing out what doesn't align with you anymore. And most likely, in fact, absolutely, at some level, you've been asking for something new. So I just was so struck with the last few conversations that I had on what some people are going through. I mean, you know, foreclosures on top of IRS audits, on top of, you know, potential divorces, on top of, you know, health issues, on top of, you name it, you know, lawsuits and bankruptcies and just major, major, major stuff. I don't know. I wasn't around during another recession, so I don't know if this is a typical pattern, but I always look, I believe that everything's an opportunity. So I really felt more powerfully than ever, what a perfect time for this call, because everyone wants to find a sense of control. Everyone wants to find a way to create an income they can depend on, that they feel good about doing what they love, having freedom of time to work when they want, maybe be with their children more, maybe be able to be more flexible, maybe travel more. Whatever your particular situation is, just know that at some level you've been asking for something better, something different, something, and you're ready for it if it's showing up for you. So the best thing you can do if you're going through massive transition is start looking towards where you're going, start looking towards what's happening, deal with what's going on in your life, but keep your focus on what's opening up for me, what wonderful, wonderful things are opening up for me going forward. All right, so I had to share that because this is just really, I'm very passionate about this. I wish I could just reach out and I had a magic wand and I could touch everybody and I could make all the problems going away. However, what I've learned with raising my beautiful twin girls is that when you do that for people, they don't get the opportunity to learn and experience and grow from what they're going through. And so supporting and loving and believing in people is what I can do. So I'm here for you. If you want some coaching, if you want to take a class, if you want to come to my free healing, whatever it is, I hope that I can touch you and inspire you and help you through whatever you're going through. So let's move on. So home-based business, essentially what I'm talking about is any business that you start yourself or with a partner or whatever. So you need to look at what is it that you love to do, and not necessarily maybe just practical thing like I like to make jewelry, or I like to, you know, coach people, or I like to do Reiki or something like that. Look, expand a little bit from that. What are the qualities of what you like to do? And you can use this for a job, so to speak, as well. Who do you like to work with? What kind of people do you like to work with? Do you like to work with people? Do you want a business where you are talking to people all day long? Or do you want a business where you're staying home and just working on the computer and not talking to people? Do you want a business where you're traveling, driving around or traveling around the country? Do you want a business where you have to produce a product, create something, make jewelry or clothes or something and ship it and sell it? Do you want to be a middleman? Do you want to find a great product and then be the one that markets it? Do you want to help other people, coach them or heal them or do some form of service oriented for other people or other businesses? Do you like helping people? Look at what your strengths are. Don't try to strengthen your weaknesses. Look at what your strengths are and what you love to do and match that up. Now, alternatively, I don't want to discourage you from knowing that any business you're going to do is going to be a fantastic personal growth path for you. What does that mean? It means you're going to be pushing through a lot of fears, a lot of pushing yourself out of your comfort zone, learning to do, to develop new skills, learning to do things that you haven't done in the past and maybe scare you a little bit. That's one of the reasons I like working for myself. So I like the control. I like to be the one that's in charge of how much I work and when I work and what I do. I like to be also, I like the fact that it pushes me to grow, always to grow. So we set our goals, but we always know that the key is once we reach a goal, then there's another goal. So if we're not as much goal-oriented as we are growth-oriented, and I find that to be a very powerful thought. If you're growth-oriented, if you're always knowing that you're moving forward, you're learning, you're becoming more strong, more courageous, more confident, more loving, more compassionate, more skilled at whatever it is you're doing, you're definitely moving forward and you will be successful. Okay, I had to have a sip of water. So one of the things is one, you look at what you love to do. You look at who you like to work with. Now, alternately, maybe that you're typically kind of a quiet or shy person. and you work, you know, you're not afraid of people, but you tend to do a job that doesn't encounter people. But suddenly now you've become fascinated with, interested in, or maybe completely passionate about a new business. And that passion is carrying you past those fears or past that part of you that you haven't developed before. In that case, then you do look to develop that part of you because it's a skill you need to succeed in that business. So an example would be my boyfriend, Chris, is an amazing webmaster. He's been on the computer forever. He knows technical things. He was on the first team that launched American Express's first internet presence. He's a online marketing and branding specialist. He's amazing. And he's very confident person. He can talk to anybody. He isn't afraid of people, but he's never done a business where he talks to people a lot. He talks to his clients, then he does his work. He does his work generally listening to his music. So he's recently started in working with me in a new business that we have that is requiring more person-to-person contact on the phone or in person. So he could, this is just an example for you. So if you're someone similar to that and you say, you know, I tend not to be really good at striking up conversations and knowing what to say to people about certain things or building rapport, but I'm so excited about this business that I'm willing to learn how to do that because it's worth it to me. Okay, so figure out exactly what you're willing to do to succeed. That is such a key, okay, in being successful in business. What are you willing to do to succeed? Because if you want to be in business for yourself, if you want to be successful, if you want to build a sustainable income and create, you know, financial freedom and independence, you've got to realize that, one, you're going to be continually growing and learning. Two, you're going to be continually pushing yourself outside your comfort zone, learning new skills, and you're going to have to be able to solve problems and to weather the ups and downs. You can't be in a place where you just like, oh, I can't deal with that. Somebody else needs to deal with it. Well, generally, that's not the way it's going to work unless you're hiring employees. So let's see. Let me go over the businesses I've been in, and then we'll talk about the different kinds of business you can do. I've been my first business was one of my biggest businesses, and obviously I had a huge motivation and a huge passion because, one, I was only a year, couple of years out of college, so I was new to the work world in general. Two, it was a very, very big business. I was a fashion designer. So I went to college, I got a degree in fashion design, and I moved to Los Angeles, and I I got a job at a department store for a few months while we got settled there. And then I went out and got a job in the industry. I had three jobs working for other companies, learned a lot, worked for one huge company, one very, very small company, and one pretty big, pretty well-known company. And I was an assistant pattern maker, and then I was assistant designer at two other companies. At the third company, I became very good friends with the production pattern maker, and he decided to, he asked, you know, would you like to go into business? So we were going to go into business together, and we made some plans. We looked at some factories, and some things happened, and he backed out. And then he, a little while after that, he actually went in, took a job with another person. He was sort of a partner. So he did go into a business by himself, but he went in with a couple other people who had started a business, and they asked him to come over. So it wasn't the same as starting your own business. At that point, he asked me to come and work there. So what I did was I thought about it, and I thought, you know, I really do want to start my own business, and that's not an easy industry, to say the least. Okay, you have to know a lot, you have to have a lot of money, and it's a very challenging business. So what I did was I left and worked for another company for a very brief time. They turned out to be not good people of integrity, so I left that job fairly quickly and went to work for this friend of mine who had gone and started his own company. They wanted me to stay on there, but at that point I had definitely determined I wanted to start my own company, so I did. Like I said, that's a very complex, very involved business. Now, here's the keys. Whether it's big and complex like that one was, and I did very, very well for a while. We did $1 million in sales our first year. However, we were constantly playing catch up. All the money went back into the business, so to speak. So one, this is a type of business where you produce a product and then you market it. And then you take orders, then you produce the products in mass, and then you ship them and you sell them. So that could be fashion design, that could be making jewelry, that could be artwork, that could be sewing, that could be, knitting things or crafts. I mean, there's lots of different things. So if you're interested in a business like that, let me tell you what I think are the pros and cons of that kind of a business. In that type of a business, what you want to be aware of is what is the demand for what you're doing. So the number one mistake that most people make when they want to start their own business is they go do something because they love it. Now, what did I just discuss? I said, oh, do something you love, right? Okay, so yes, you have to do something you love, but you have to understand that a business mindset is very, very different from just an everyday, ordinary mindset. And this is something I've learned over 26 years, and I'm still continuing to develop my business mindset. I read a Robert Kiyosaki book one day, and he said going from either being an employee or a self-employed person, which means, maybe a chiropractor or a doctor or just somebody, a massage therapist, that kind of thing, to being a business owner is like crossing over a bridge in your mind. It's a completely different continent, okay? There's a different mindset behind it. There's a different purpose behind it. So I would encourage you to really understand that business is like that. So in a business where you're producing a product, make sure that you don't get into it because I'm the best, jewelry maker, or I'm the best designer in the world, or I make the best hamburger in the world, and think that that is going to be the key to your success. It's not. And I'm not here to dash anyone's hopes, but I want you to take a combination of your vision and your passion for what you want to do and combine it with the reality that what the businesses that are successful are businesses that are based on marketing, okay? Not that it has to be about marketing, but you have to know how are you going to get the business? How are you going to be exposed to anybody? How are they going to find you? Do you understand the reality of the cost of advertising or what kind of advertising you're going to do? Who's going to bring it to you, or having salesmen you give a commission to? You have to understand that. And you have to understand that if you go into business, if you've ever read The E-Myth by Michael Gerber, he talks about that's what most people do here in America, at least, is they go into business because they're the best whatever and they want to do it by themselves. But if you're the best craftsman, who's running the business side of it? If you're trying to do all aspects of a business, remember, you've got overhead perhaps, you've got bills to pay, you have clients to bill, you've got all these other things, and maybe you need help producing the product. So you have to really understand the business that you're in and understand, instead of going into it just because you're really good at making jewelry or cookies or whatever it is, do you have somebody who's going to help with the business side of it? Are you going to have enough time? Because what happens to a lot of people is they get in, they get excited, and pretty soon they get burnt out and they get out of business because they can't do it all. None of us are good at everything, okay? So that doesn't mean you have to have a partner in business. I haven't done that really at all. I mean, a few individual ventures here and there, but nothing permanent. But realize that you are going to need to get help in some way for the areas like accounting or whatever, the things you don't like to do. Producing a product. Okay, the thing about producing a product is very satisfying if that's something you love to do. If you're an artist or something, very satisfying, very creative, very tangible, very real, very beautiful. The things that I found challenging about that business, and when I left that business, I decided not to do another business like that, were these. One, I had to put all my money and time into it up front before I got paid, and then there was a chance that I could produce the product for people and they still wouldn't pay me, okay? And I didn't like that. So let me lay out that scenario for you real quick. In fashion design, you have to create samples. You have to come up with designs, and there's five seasons. So say it's summer season, and so you have to design a line of clothes for the summer season. Of course, there's timing involved and all that, and it's kind of complicated, but you have to design it and make the samples. Then depending on how many, you know, where you're going to show those samples, I had reps at one point around the country, Los Angeles, New York, Dallas, and I sold to many, many department stores, some Macy's and big catalogs and small specialty stores and all of that. So you have to make samples so you can show what you're selling. Now, I have a friend who's done trunk shows, so she does just one set of samples, and then she goes to people's houses and shows them. That's one way to do it. That's not going to build you a very big business, and it's going to be very, very consuming of your time. If you're the only one, if you're sewing the product and designing the product and showing the product, you're going to have very little time to be growing your business and marketing your business. So what I found that was frustrating in that type of a business is you put all the money up front to buy the materials to make the samples, you take the orders, and typically in a lot of those businesses for stores, if you're selling to stores, they're not going to pay you up front. They want terms, 30, 60 days to pay. So you then order a whole bunch of fabric, you pay a bunch of people to make all the clothes for the orders that you have, and then you pack them up and you ship them. All this is money out of your pocket, time out of your pocket, and then you hope they pay you. and then maybe they don't pay you, or maybe they return it and say, we don't like it. Then I started to make certain people be on a COD, cash on delivery. So they agreed. They put the order in, and they'd say, yes, you ship it to me, I'll pay the man who brings the box, right? They have to give the payment to the person who's delivering the box. And, well, that's an interesting thing. I thought I've solved that problem. However, what happens then is they can just simply refuse the box if they don't feel like paying for it. They don't have the money to pay for it. Well, at least you didn't lose the product and not get paid. But now you just got a box back of a bunch of product that you've already put all the money into, and you're not getting paid for it. So that business was very successful very quickly, and the timing wasn't right because it was at the end of the 80s and around 1990. And if you're familiar with that time frame, everybody went bankrupt. Even department stores, they were buying each other and they were all going bankrupt and nobody paid. I had department stores and huge catalogs that owed me lots and lots and lots of money, and they all went bankrupt and didn't pay. So when I got out of that, the next thing I did was I went the other direction. I said, okay, I don't want a big giant business where I had employees and factories and I have to buy product and everything up front. So now get me right, I'm not telling you not to do something like this. Obviously, there's people who succeed in every kind of business. And when somebody gives you statistics like nobody succeeds in that, or only two people make money in that, just know that none of those apply to you if you are aligned with what you're doing, okay? It's up to you. It's completely up to you. You have to be the one that makes it work. You have to decide it's going to work. You have to begin. You have to never give up. And you have to keep growing and be smart and all of that. So absolutely many, many people succeed in fashion design business. And I at the time, I was very devastated about it. And I was very devastated to find out people don't pay you. It was stunning to me. It was extremely traumatic. So I left Los Angeles and I moved to New Mexico. And I just wanted to be in a cocoon. I was very traumatized by people, so I opened a different kind of business. I thought, I don't want a big business. I don't want employees. I don't want to pay for products. I don't want to make them. I just want it to be about me and my time. Just people pay me for my time. That way, if I don't get paid, then I'm only out my time. So that's the next kind of a business where you get paid for your time. Now, it's similar to a job where you're trading your time, you know, for money, except for that, of course, you can leverage that. So what I did was I started a pet sitting business. If you're familiar with that, at the time it was not a common thing, but people go out of town and you go over to their house once or twice a day and you feed their cats and dogs and pet them and walk them and water their plants and bring in their mail and turn on and off lights and make it look like somebody's in the house and so on. It's great service, really fantastic. And it was perfect for me at the time because I only met the people once, so I had very little contact with people. I got lots of contact with animals that I absolutely loved, so it was a very healing experience for me. I enjoyed it. Now, here's the thing about starting a business similar to that, a service-oriented business, a couple of things. Make sure, again, that you have a market for you where you live. If you are physically having to show up for whatever it is, make sure that you're not having to drive too far and that, you know, you're getting paid a reasonable amount. Initially, I started offering it for a wide, wide area for $7 a visit, which is just unbelievable to me at this point. But you might go, you know, drive all over. It really wasn't worth my time. So over time, I shrunk my area, raised my prices, and until I got a good balance with it. Now, when you work for yourself, you're going to have many businesses similar to that, this one, where it's seasonal or there's certain times of the year where you're busier than others. And if you're going to do a business like that, you really need to understand up front that you have to go with that flow. Okay, so initially when I didn't have very many clients, I would be upset. I'd be, oh no, what about it? And I wouldn't relax and enjoy my time off. And then I'd get into a busy period and I'd be like, oh my gosh, I'm doing all these, you know, I'm working all so much. I wish I had time off. So you have to, with those, you have to learn to be okay with the ebb and flow, with the ups and downs throughout the year. So after doing it a year or two, I got used to, I understood the flow. The beginning of the year from about the 4th of January till tax time is very, very slow. People come back from their holidays and they don't do anything because they got to pay their taxes. Then it starts to pick up a little bit and then summer's pretty busy and it goes up and down like that. And then over the holidays, I'd have 45 people a day. It would be completely insane and I'd have to get help. So but in order to comfortably succeed and be good at that business, remember you have to ebb and flow. You have to be good with that going up and down. If that's going to make you very, very, very uncomfortable, not having consistent business all the time, that's not the kind of business for you, okay? So then the next thing I did was I moved into healing, healing work. I'd been studying many things. I started doing healing work. I enjoyed that quite a bit, and that, again, was a service-oriented kind of business. However, I did most of that from my home. So if you like to stay home and not want to go out, drive around, or travel, you can think about a business where you stay at home. There's a lot of advantages to it. Obviously, the overhead's very, very low. You can be in your PJs or whatever unless people are coming by, but I didn't have people coming by. And but again, you have to know where are you getting the customers, okay, and structuring your prices. Now, the challenge, I loved the healing work. The challenge I had with that was more around the fact that I was taking responsibility for people and being concerned if they, you know, if they started to heal and then they decided not to because their problems served them in another way, that kind of thing. So you have to see, do you have the right temperament for things? Do you have the right personality for things? Is that going to work for you? Then I moved into, I had my twin girls and I got them and so I sold my pet sitting business and I scaled back my healing business to very, very minimal for the next 4 or 5 years while I stayed home with my kids. And over that time, I would make some remedies and I'd do a little bit of healing here and there, but not much. What I did then when I went into next was real estate investing, and this was my second really, really, really big business. Now, real estate investing was completely left field for me. I had never had an interest in it. I had no idea why it interested me. I knew nothing about it. And so that was a huge education level. This is another thing to consider when you're choosing a home-based business. How much do you know about, one, the actual craft of it, and how much do you know about the business aspect of it, and how much do you know about the marketing aspect of it, okay? The marketing is the most important part of any business because that's how you get clients, you get customers, you get sales. And if you don't sell and you don't get clients, you're not in business for very long. So look at different, when you're looking and considering a business, also assess how much time you have to put into it. Are you going to do this part-time? Are you going to do this full-time? Do you want to start part-time and then move into full-time? How feasible is that? How much is it realistic for you to get paid? How much will you make? How much is your overhead? Is it valuable to run advertising for this kind of business? Or is it a word-of-mouth business? All of these things are very, very important to understand. And then if you need training on how to do a business, you need to look at assessing that. How am I going to get the training? Are there people available for it? How much is it going to cost me? So I got into real estate investing, was extremely intrigued with it, and it just sucked me in, quite honestly. I was incredibly passionate about it and learned just gobs of information that I really can't believe to this day that I learned, very, very involved, intricate contracts and funding and all kinds of stuff. Did very, very well in that business, and I took a lot of training, took a lot of seminars. Started off with a $5,000 seminar and just kept going from there. I went to a seminar probably every month or every other month for a year or two and continued on for several years after that, going at least every 3 or 4 months. The training was excellent, the motivation, the support, being around other people in your business, talking to people who are like-minded, those were things that were very powerful. So that's another thing. If it's a business you want to start, is it something that you can have support with? Do you know other people who are doing it, who will understand what you're doing, who will not be a dream stealer or a naysayer? You need to be around like-minded people, whether it's via phone, on a mastermind, or training, or going to seminars, or joining professional clubs. You need that support. Believe me, you need it. And you can learn from it. Real estate investing was phenomenal business from that perspective because it gave me an enormous amount of support. I joined the local real estate investing association. I ended up being on the board. I booked the speakers. I ended up being a speaker and coaching people in the business because I was so passionate about the business. But what was phenomenal to me was when I was in fashion design, I would go to market at my sales rep's showroom, and I would sit there with other designers. She carried many lines, and some of them would be friendly, some of them wouldn't. But I got to know one guy, and he said, we would talk, and he would give me some advice. But in general, this is not an industry where people are going to get together with their peers and share their resources and say, hey, you can do it and stuff. You know, I had a few friends who did that, but in general, they're, you know, you're on your own, all right? Doing the pet sitting, doing some kind of healing or service out of your home, you're on your own, pretty much on your own. You may be able to find other people who do that and create a mastermind. I highly recommend that, whether they're near you in person or on the phone. But being around like-minded people who understand and are passionate about what you're doing as well is going to be one of the keys to your success and to your longevity because you need that support, that moral and emotional support. And in real estate, it was more than that. We became friends. We shared resources. We shared stories. We, you know, said, you know, how do you do this? Or do you have a good electrician? Or what do you do if the contractor runs off with the money and doesn't finish the work? And, you know, it's amazing the kind of stuff that can happen in that business. But there was enormous amount of support if you go and join one of those groups. Now, right now, those kind of groups are very small. When I was involved, there was 500 people or more, and we'd have large meetings, and there was a lot. But now, right now, that same group is only about 20 people showing up because real estate is obviously having a little bit of a downturn at the moment. So the you have to assess, do you have support and where will you get it and how, where is it around you? And the training. The training is very important. So in real estate, I absolutely recommend it that people get educated, go to seminars, meet people, get the support, be on the cutting edge of what's the newest thing to do. But did that cost money? Enormous amounts of money. I can easily say I spent probably $50,000 or more, easily, if not more, including the travel, for all the training that I did. I enjoyed it. I loved it, and it was worth it to me. But if you're in a position where you can't afford training like that, you want to assess, how else can I learn what I want to do? So let's look at a couple of things, ways you can do that. Say you want to get into something like real estate investing and you can't afford a $1,000 seminar or a $5,000 seminar or even a $100 seminar right now. Well, you can look for people who already do it and ask them to mentor you, which means you follow them around. They can show you things. What are you going to give them in return, though? Okay, you can find somebody to partner with, somebody who has experience in the business, who's willing to, you know, have you work with them, and you do part of the work to get part of the profit, and you get to be made basically kind of apprenticed. And those are very, very viable things as far as real estate investing is concerned, for sure, but other businesses as well. I always encourage people to go out and ask people who are already doing and succeeding at what you want to do. Ask them for help. Ask them to, do you mind if I take you to lunch or coffee and just ask you some questions? Even if it's just one time, you ask them a few questions, how do I get started, or who do I call, or what do you recommend, or what books do you recommend, or whatever. Another way to get trained is through books or through courses. And a lot of those kind of courses, very expensive courses, end up being sold on eBay, so you can look there. That can be highly affordable to get trained in that way. There's also audios and audiobooks. So there's probably now a lot of online training for real estate investing. At the time I was in it, really, that was, the website thing was very, very new. So real estate investing itself, love it, absolutely love it, but it's definitely not for everybody. There's problem solving after problem solving after problem solving, and if you're somebody who tends to get very depressed and upset when things don't go right, like, you know, somebody backs out of buying your house at the last second, or the contractor runs off with the money, or somebody breaks in the house and steals the bathroom mirror five times, these are all things that have happened to me, or a contractor puts a, you know, a lien on the house, or whatever, okay? If those things are going to devastate you, then you need to think about it. Now, yes, did they devastate me in the beginning? Absolutely. But you know what I'd said? I'd lay in bed at night awake, and I'd be very upset or very worried. Is this deal going to go through, and is this going to work, and so on. But I would say, nobody is going to steal my dreams. Nobody is going to steal my dreams. And I recommend you say that no matter what you do. That's why you need to get your why and align with it, because then you will be attracting the right people, the right clients, the right situations. Does that mean everything will go peachy keen every minute? No, that's not possible. It's business, okay? Don't take it personally. Remember, some will, some won't. So what? Someone's waiting. That's a little traditional thing you'll hear out there for a lot of businesses. That means if you get 10 no's, get excited, because that means you're about to get a yes. Most businesses are a numbers game. You have to talk to 20 clients to get one, or you have to look at 50 houses to get one good deal. You know, you have to go to 10 shows to sell enough product or clothes or jewelry or whatever it is. So there's a lot of aspects to business that when you understand it, you don't take it personally. You just look at, what's the solution? How do we solve this? I've become a phenomenal problem solver. I can think so creatively, it almost blows me away sometimes because of my real estate investing experience. I had so many things happening constantly on so many levels that I had to constantly be thinking, what's another way we can do this? How can we solve it? You know, who can we call? What can we do? What's another way to make this happen? And so on and so forth. So businesses where, it like real estate investing, where you're borrowing capital, okay? Talked to a lady earlier this week who's starting a healing center, and she wanted to buy a product, but she had no money to buy the product. so I was talking to her and I was trying to assess her situation, and I got to thinking, how do you start, you know, I know a lot of that is hands-on, so come in and I'll do Reiki or massage to you or whatever, but she wanted to have product there as well. And I thought, how do you do that? Well, she mentioned, well, my funding isn't coming through till the end of November. So, she's getting funding from somewhere. Real estate, you've got to get funding from somewhere. You don't want to be using your money unless you absolutely have to. So you want to borrow money from a bank or a hard money lender or a partner or whatever, the many, many ways that there are to do creative real estate investing. And so you want to think about that. Does this business you're going into going to require a lot of money, a lot of capital? Are you going to require funding? What is your ability to get funding? Are you going to need good credit? Are you going to need, you know, relationships with banks? Or are there other people you can partner up with that have it? And then how are you going to pay it back? And is it in proportion to realistically to what you're going to make? Are you going to be able to pay it back? I know a client several years ago who borrowed a very large sum of money. I think it was close to $100,000 to start a business, which ended up making really no money at all. And they had to pay that person back, got another partner to step in the end, it just didn't work out. Now, that happens in business. You know, 9 out of 10 businesses fail and all that kind of thing. Again, remember, it's a numbers game, and you have to understand that. But look at that. Are those things outside your comfort zone to where you'll be paralyzed? My ex-husband quit his job at one point to work with me in the real estate investing business. He had quit and worked in my fashion design business years before that, and he was a basket case. He couldn't stand it. He'd pace in front of me while I was on the phone. It made me nervous. I couldn't. He just thought, he was so nervous about the money and so nervous about the whole thing. He thought it was just where everything was going to be lost. So after, I think, a couple of months, he went back to what he did, and it was a good thing. it wasn't helping me. He wasn't able to handle it. To him, the perceived risk was too high. So just realize that there are perceived risks, okay, in every business, and what you want to do is just be smart. Come from your heart, but also be smart. So there's this kind of a business where you're investing. You're investing your money or your time or both into a project, big or small, and then leveraging that maybe to get other projects and to get a big payday. Or perhaps if you get in real estate investing, you get a rental property and you hope you'll make a decent profit monthly so that you can offset when somebody moves and you have a few months where it's empty or something. So those kind of businesses, really, I would recommend if you want to do them, they're absolutely viable. Definitely right now, if you want to get into real estate, make sure you look at the market. I'm personally waiting right now until I get back into that. But assess if that's something you're comfortable doing or you have enough of a passion about to do. And then there's, I have, like I said, my speaking, my coaching, my product business, so that's mostly internet marketing. So if you're interested in marketing on the internet, internet marketing, in my opinion, is not a business in and of itself. It's a form of marketing. And, of course, right now, that would be a very, very good thing to assess in the business you want to open. Is this something I can market on the internet? And if it is, who is my target customer? And when you assess who your target customer is it geographically specific? You know, are you targeting people in a very specific area or only in your town or to the whole world or to just women or just men or just children or just, you know, elderly people? Or what is your target customer? And then the wonderful thing about the internet is you can go out and you can research all this, can't you? You can research how to do it. One cost. And I've spent 3.5 years studying internet marketing and using it for my business, and I do like it. But let me tell you one thing. Right now, internet marketing is in a huge shift. Right now, real estate investing is in a huge slump. There are deals out there, but there's no way to get funding for very many people. It's hard to sell the real estate deals. So make sure you understand the market cycle that your business is in or your form of marketing it is in. So internet marketing, phenomenal. However, Don't get pie in the eye, pie in the sky dreams about you're just going to throw a website up and people are going to run over there and sign up. That's not the way it is anymore. Apparently it was before. I never was around during that era. However, I did start 3.5 years ago, and it was much easier back then to build your list and to market to people. But think about it right now. You yourself are probably, like everyone else, tired of a lot of email, aren't opening a lot of your emails, or you're getting off of lists. Even huge, huge people like Jack Canfield and different people like that, their lists are shrinking and they're having a much less, lower percentage of open rates on their emails. So there's a huge shift going on in internet marketing right now. And it doesn't mean it's not going to work or it can't work, not at all. But be careful about getting wooed into a lot of these people who are selling how to internet market. What I learned, because I went to internet marketing seminars and I bought some courses and really studied them, and what I realized at some point was a lot of these people who are selling courses, how to get traffic, how to, you know, make your website great or whatever it is, a lot of these, and they're very, very flashy, ooh, 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 come, 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 it's a great thing. A lot of those people, they are not selling a product. They are not in a particular business. They're selling how to do internet marketing. That's not what you're doing. So make sure that you're getting advice and you're getting education from somebody who matches what you do. What I realized after a while is, well, I'm not selling products to other internet marketers. I'm simply wanting to, you know, share myself and get exposure for who I am and what I'm doing on the internet. Those are two completely different things, okay? So, I find internet marketing to be a wonderful place, but also full of pitfalls. There's probably more people out there that lose money trying to get a business going. Now, the good part is it doesn't cost a lot. You know, you can get a website, you can get, you can do, you know, Twitter, you can do social media and Facebook, you can learn how to. There's lots of free teleseminars, there's lots of reasonably priced courses out there. You can learn how to do it, and it's not going to cost a lot of money, but make sure that you have a realistic perspective on how you're going to attract the people to you and how you're going to expose them and keep them engaged with what you offer. So, you get a sip of water here. All right, I'm going to go into two more things. I want to go into how to attract clients in a way that I think works for any business, any kind of business, regardless of what you want to do. Once you've assessed what it is you love to do, what it is you're passionate about, what it is you're going to be putting the time in without, you know, it being a struggle. Does that mean you won't get tired? No, but you want to have that passion and that why, and you want to assess, you know, do you want to be making product and putting the money out up front, or do you want to be selling your time? Do you want to be, you know, involved in a big business where you have to get an office and employees and all that, or do you want it to be just you, or just you and a couple people, or you and a VA, a virtual assistant? There's a lot of wonderful resources nowadays they didn't have before, that you can get virtual assistants that live in a wholly different country that work for you and many other people, so you don't necessarily have to employ people to help you on a permanent everyday basis and pay them benefits and all that. That's a very big expense for businesses, for small businesses. So assess your costs very, very reasonably, very realistically, and then overestimate what it's going to cost you, okay? The oops factor, we used to say in real estate investing. So I want to tell you about one more business model, and then I'm going to talk about attracting customers regardless of what you want to do. And then I want to encourage people, of course you can come back, like I said, and listen to this call as often as you want, but my email address is nan, at createyourownrealitynow, don't forget the now part, .com. Of course, if you forget that, you can go to createyourownrealitynow.com and fill out the contact form, and please feel free to contact me if you want to talk about anything, or you want to, you know, get some advice on products, coaching, businesses, ideas, certainly anything that I do that I can help you with specifically, I'd love to hear from you. So, okay, so let's go into one more business model. Internet marketing, I just want to touch on one more time. marketing on the internet and internet marketing are two different things. So just be careful when you get into that world, because I got in and I was overwhelmed with all these different people sending me emails, the super cash flow system, the super fast traffic system, the exploding this system, the, oh my God, you have to have this, oh, this is the new thing. Because one of the things online is that it changes very, very quickly. Google changes its parameters on how it indexes your site constantly, and it's kept secret, so people are always trying to figure it out. How do I get, you know, my website seen on there? It's trending constantly. It's a fluid thing. So and I got very overwhelmed until I realized that I could sort people out based on are they offering me how to market my business on the internet versus brand it, like Chris, my boyfriend, I told you, he has a abundanceunlimited.com or moneymachinewebsites.com. You can go check out what he does. He helps people create websites that he creates the technology behind there that attracts, he calls it, makes it Google candy, that they'll index it. And then he'll tell you what you need to do to make sure to get a good ranking, get noticed. But he talks about how to brand yourself online. And that's what you really need to do. You really need to understand that you are branding yourself no matter what business you're in. And so don't tie yourself just to one company. Brand you. That way, no matter what you do, people can still follow who you are. But that's different from these guys that are selling a how to do this internet marketing thing, and it changes tomorrow. So those are two different markets. So, okay, we're going to go for about another 10 minutes. If anybody needs to hop off, you can absolutely come back and listen to the rest of it, but I just want to let you know it is 9 o'clock right now, so I am going to go for about 10 more minutes because I do want to give you some great tips on how to attract customers. So let's talk about one more business model. I had a very interesting conversation today with a lady that I met, and actually when I was in real estate investing, we would see each other at different seminars, and she worked for some of the big speakers, and I moved up here to Austin and ran into her at an internet marketing meeting. And so I said, wow, what are you doing now? Well, I'm still, you know, doing some work with speakers and stuff in that business in real estate, but I'm also becoming an internet marketing specialist and consultant. So she knows the speaking business, speakers, real estate investing, and internet marketing very, very well. And then I see her occasionally now and then, and ran into her recently, and we got to chatting, and she decided she wanted to get into something new. So I said, what are you doing these days? And she said, well, I'm still consulting some clients on internet marketing and some speakers and helping them get booked. She said, but you know what? The speaking business is very volatile and strange, and the real estate investing, which is most of her speakers were doing that, that's of course gone way, way down. They're not getting a lot of people at the seminars. So that one's in flux. And then the internet marketing consulting I'm doing, that whole internet marketing is shifting. It's not that it's going bad. It's just really in flux too. In case you notice, you'll see a lot these days people are saying business is different now. The old way of doing businesses don't work. And I actually agree. There are some things that still work in some businesses, but definitely internet marketing and some other things, it is a whole new world, and we've all changed. We talked about that at the beginning of the call. So she said, you know, internet marketing is in flux, and I said, so what is it then what you're going to do? She goes, well, to be honest, in January, I started looking at I started noticing that the speakers I was hanging around and the people I was consulting, and she's talking some intelligent, high-level, successful people here, I noticed the people with the money were the network marketers. And she said they were driving the big cars. They were the ones that seemed to be not having a recession. They were the ones that weren't having a dip or a shift in their business. In fact, they are having a in their business because right now, what is one thing that's not affected? Well, in network marketing, which I did not even consider I would ever do up until a few months ago, had a very bad opinion of it, very closed-minded, which is not a good thing to do. But it was interesting to talk to her because she really researched this. She really looked around. She talked to some people who are very, very successful. And she's like, you know, why are you doing network marketing? What's the deal with that industry? Is it growing? Is it not growing? Well, here's two things that are happening in our economy right now. People are going back to school or back to get trained, right, because they need to find a new job or a different job or a better job or their own home-based business. And network marketing is exploding. Now, why is that? Because from my research to this point, network marketing is becoming a very popular, very lucrative, very probable business model, because it doesn't depend on the economy. It doesn't depend on the banks. It doesn't depend on the real estate market being up or down. It doesn't depend on your employer or a company closing or not closing. It doesn't depend on the government adding taxes or bailing out farmers or anything else, okay? So this is a fascinating business model that I have, much to my own surprise, really embraced as an incredible, incredible business. So let me tell you the key components to why I think network marketing. Now, that doesn't mean every company that's in network marketing is a good idea. You still have to do your research. You don't want a company that's already past its momentum time. You don't want an underfunded company. You don't want a company with a bad product. You don't want a company with an owner without vision. There's a lot of things you need to look at. However, the concept, the business model of network marketing is becoming incredible. And so this woman I was talking to said in January she talked to several people who were very successful in network marketing, and she began to do her own research. And what she's concluded between talking to people and her research is that in the next 5 to 7 years, the network marketing business model is going to be the number one business for people to get into. Now, my opinion as to why is these reasons. I discussed some of these other businesses I've been in and how much money I paid for training. Okay, I also, in every business I started, whether it was big or small, I put up money for it. Lots of money in the cases of the fashion design business. In real estate, I didn't put a lot of my money into the properties because I learned how to borrow the money for that. But I put a lot of money into the training, into the travel to learn the training, a lot of money. So network marketing is minimal to no startup costs. Okay, that's phenomenal. It's also free training. Now, that's going to vary business by business. I have met people recently who said they've been in other network marketing companies and they haven't gotten any training. They got signed up and nobody ever talked to them, or they had a call every now and then and said, here, get on this call and learn something. Okay, so it's going to depend on the business, but in general, you get trained, you get free training. That's huge. That's huge. Okay, from my experience, I'm kind of blown away by it. No overhead. Okay, essentially no overhead. Now, I say essentially because I got to qualify that. You don't have to rent an office. You don't have to hire employees. You don't have to have even a business, you know, like an LLC or a corporation, unless you want to. I recommend having them, but you don't have to. You can start in your own name. You don't have to have any experience. You don't have to have any special talents, really. And you can do it on the internet. Nowadays, you can learn to do it on the internet, or you can do it in person. You can do it with people anywhere in the world or people in your backyard, and that's huge. So who's your target market? Almost everybody. You've got a huge target market. You've got very low to no upfront cost, depending on companies. I did meet a guy last month who had joined a network marketing company I'd never heard of, and he paid $2,400 just to get in. I was blown away by that. He was rather upset because it wasn't going anywhere at that point, and he wanted to join the company that I had was telling him about, but he said, you know, I put all this money into this other company. I have to see if it will work. So be cautious if you're looking in network marketing companies. Be careful that you assess whether, if they have a large upfront fee like that, is it really realistic? Is it a good idea? Okay. Do they have good training? Is it really a good training? Where are they in their time frame? Are they too new that they may go out of business? That happens very often. Are they instability, which means they're past their momentum and they're doing fine, but there really isn't going to be a lot of opportunity for you to make money. It's going to be hard for you to do a lot of work. You're not going to get much help. Or is it about to go in momentum? Is it a good timing? Are you going to about to hit that curve where it's going straight up and it's growing very fast and you're carried along with it? Another thing about network marketing is, of course, there are several ways you can do it. You offer the business opportunity to people, or you offer the product to people. And so let me tell you a few keys to network marketing that you want to be aware of when you assess them. I've learned a lot from the Hager Marketing Group, who I joined this summer. And they spent the last 6 months studying 1,500 different network marketing companies, deciding who to go with. Why? Because they're experienced. They have 17 years experience and made $20 million in this industry. They know what to look for. So I'm picking their brain to understand why, what is a good opportunity and what isn't. One of the things you want to do is make sure that the owner is well-funded, has a vision, the product is something you can be proud of and is actually good for people, and be careful. Now, there's network marketing companies for travel, right, travel ones. There's one for technology, you know, cell phones or sign up on a computer. There's ones for, you know, a wide variety of things. But the two categories that historically succeed very well in network marketing are skincare and makeup, like Mary Kay or Nu Skin, or health and wellness, okay, like Mona V or Herbalife or something like that. So that would be, you know, do your research, or, you know what you're doing. And I would, you know, I've heard people say, well, I want to join a network marketing company, but my friend is in one, so I'm going to join the one that he's in because, you know, he's my friend. Now, I understand that. Of course, it's called network marketing, so you do talk to the people you know, and that's where you start usually. However, is that a good way to decide on a business? No. Okay, so no matter what kind of business you're going to open, please don't go take advice from people who don't make money and have never done the business before and never made any money. Look for people who have made money, do know what they're doing, and ask their opinion and their advice. Okay, so technology companies, travel companies, all those things, they're not going to last, and they're not going to go into momentum. There's only one company that's ever done that. That was Excel. So what's phenomenal about a network marketing business, and one of the reasons why I think out of every different type of business we've talked about is the best business, especially right now, is so many people don't have a lot of money right now, may have a lot of time because they lost their job or something, or may have a little bit of time. But so, because you can do it at your own level. You essentially work for yourself. You work from home. You can do it on the internet. You can do it over the phone, or you can do it in person, or all of the above. You can get started for very little money. Now, you do have a monthly cost, depending on what company you're at. You have to understand, how do people make money in network marketing? Okay, there's a couple ways they make money, and if you go into it and you don't understand how the money's made, and then you say, well, I don't want to buy my product every month or pay my fees every month or whatever it is, then you don't understand the model, and you're not going to make money in it, because this is how the money's made. I get signed up and I buy my product. I'm with a company called Zree, and it's phenomenal. Best health product, I think, on the planet, endorsed by Deepak Chopra. And I get my product. Well, I'm totally sold on this stuff. I wouldn't be without it now, and my health has just gone through the roof. But so you get your product. Because you get your product, the people that, you know, above you get paid, okay? Then the people you sign up and the people they sign up and the people, other people above you put below you, and it's a team sport. You have people helping you build your business, okay? That's another one of the pros to this, is you work for yourself, but you're not left alone. If you pick the correct compensation plan, you want a binary. A binary, that means you build two teams. You don't build these crazy things, millions of people across and all this stuff, and or have to give away, let the people above you take all your profit on your first two people that you sign up. That's ridiculous. That's designed to make you fail. You want one that's designed to help you succeed. So a binary where you only have to sign up two people in order to qualify to get paid, and people above you are putting people below you and building your team for you, and other people are building your team for you as well as you building the team, and it's phenomenal. It really is amazing. So the way the money's made is you either sell the product or you sign people up. That's essentially the basics of it. It's a very simple business. Now, do you have to get over being able to talk to people about it? I had to get over being able to say, I'm doing network marketing. I was horribly embarrassed. I thought, you know. However, that was pretty easy with the company being in Momentum and the business owner being the guy who created Fruit of the Loom and Deepak Chopra, all the great elements. And it's just like, okay, I'm over it now. But the way the money is made is you've got to get your product every month. And can you really sell something that you're not using yourself? You go, oh, Joe, you've got to get into this. This is the greatest product ever. Oh, my gosh. Really? Really? Why do you like it? What's your feel? Well, I don't take it, but you should. Okay, well, we all understand that's okay. You need to be a product of your product. And one of the keys to success in any business that you do is you better believe in it with all of your heart and soul. Okay, you want to be absolutely authentic. Okay, that's part of attracting customers. You want to believe with every fiber of your being that your service or your product or whatever it is you're doing, whether you're doing real estate investing, you're truly helping that person you're buying that house from and selling that house true. You're giving them a good quality product, and you're helping them out of a difficult situation. You want to believe that when you're selling your coaching services or your healing services, that you absolutely are excellent at what you do, and these people will benefit from it, and that it is to their best interest to do it. Then you're not selling. You see what I mean? When you believe in what you're doing with every fiber of your being, then you're just expressing authentically, and people are very attracted to that, and they will sense that, and they will know that, and then if it's right for them, they'll help, they'll join, and if it's not right for them, they won't buy, you know, and you not what you do is not right for everyone, but you want to, in order to attract to you, instead of chasing people, okay, chasing from desperation, please buy my stuff, please sign up with me. This doesn't work. That kind of energy repels people, repels money, repels everything. So you want to be so that you can truly feel like, this is the most incredible business opportunity I've ever seen. This is the most incredible company. They've got phenomenal training. They've got support, people who want to go fast and make money quickly. They have advanced training. They pull you up. They're willing to reach down and give you a hand up, not a hand out. They're willing to encourage you, support you, reward you, and appreciate you. That's another thing about network marketing, at least the company I'm in, that I'm incredibly impressed in. On all the businesses I've had by myself, I have never had the opportunity. You know, I'm working for myself. So I never sat there and said, you know what, if you do really well in the next 2 weeks, I'll take you to a spa day, or I'll take you to dinner, or, you know, I'll buy you a present or something. Well, you know, I could do that for myself, but it's not the same. And so what they believe in is rewarding and recognition. And what do we all really want? When I got a taste of this, I thought, man, this satisfies that inner child in all of us. We want to be recognized for doing a good job, for hard work, and for putting efforts out. We want to be recognized when we succeed, and we want to be appreciated. And when you have a team pulling for you because it's a win-win team, that's the other thing about the right kind of network marketing companies, is it's a win-win. It's a win-win for everyone. The person who signs you up, it's to their benefit to help you. I help the people that I sign up. I teach them how to do this. I talk to people for them. I do a lot. I coach them. I do a lot of things because I believe in them. Now, if they don't want to do it, or they don't step up to the plate, or they just aren't ready to get started, that's fine. Nobody's going to force you. So you go at your own speed. It's still up to you to do the work and be motivated. But you have people who are willing to help you. Because why? Because if you succeed, it's good for them. And then the people you bring into the business, if they succeed, it's good for you. And all the way down the line. So we're all working together as a team because, one, we believe in what we're doing. We're passionate about what we're doing. We want people to succeed because then they succeed, but we also succeed too. And there's nothing better than being in a business where you find win-win situations. Now, you can find that in other businesses, but this business with the little to no startup costs, like in ours right now, it's free. It's completely free to get started. And normally it's $50, so it's not a huge overhead. Now you have to get your product every month because that's how everyone gets paid, okay? So if you get on, well, I want to do the business, but I don't want to buy the product or take the product, that's going to be a little bit hard for you to be in authentic integrity telling other people to try the product or to start the business if you aren't taking it or buying it. So that's why they design it where you don't get paid unless you buy your product every month. But you know what? If everyone buys a product and you enjoy it and you take it and you're feeling better and healthy, and you, then you know you have your own personal story so that you can be very honest with people when they ask you why is this a great thing, you can say from great sincerity within you. Another reason, another way to attract the right people to your business. Now, when you work for yourself, one of the beautiful things is you can decide who you work with and who you don't want to work with. And no matter what business it is, you really, there's not many businesses where you have to work with somebody. So, say in real estate investing, I had to use a title company very often. Yes. How many title companies are out there? Bazillions of them. I had 3 or 4 or 5 at a time that I liked, and I would pick who I sent that deal to depending on what they were good at. You know, well, this one needs a fast close, and these 3 people aren't good at fast closing, but Mary over here at this title company, she is. I'm going to put that one with her. And so you develop those things, but I wasn't forced to work with any one title company or any one bank or any one contractor. You're not forced to invite everybody into your business. Maybe they're negative and you don't really want them around. So remember, you're in charge of your business. You get to decide who you work with, and that's one of the beauties of working for yourself. So let's go over a couple of more tips on attracting the right clients. Whether you have an existing business right now or you're planning on starting a new one, or you want to grow the one that you have and you'd like to know how to attract more clients. Okay, my best advice on that is first what I told you. Always, 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 okay, be in the space where, I know we've gone long, everybody, so thanks for hanging in there. Always believe completely in what you're doing. Now, what's the easiest way to do that? Obviously, find out what's your why. Why are you doing it? Because you believe it's an incredible business opportunity, because you believe in the company or the product, because you love, talking to people. Why are you doing it, okay? Yes, to pay your bills, okay, but let's find something much more exciting and inspiring as to why we want to be in business, why we want to do business for ourselves. Once you're in alignment with that, get your self-image in alignment with it. What does that mean? See yourself being a top salesman or the best, prized jewelry maker at a show, or, getting lots of great deals in real estate and wonderful partners or whatever. You need to see yourself fully embracing success in that business and seeing it being easy and fun for you, feeling that in your body, imagining yourself, getting calls from clients or making the jewelry to fill the orders or inviting people in to get on your health product. Whatever it is you're doing, you need to start to align yourself from within, so that's where the energy comes from. And really, there isn't any other way to attract clients. You might get lucky and have some here or there, but you want consistent flow, right? You want consistently people joining your business, people buying your product, people selling you houses, whatever it is. So that starts internally. You must see it with your mind. Feel it. Imagine yourself being successful. Now, what I do frequently is I move myself to the end result. So if I want to get a great real estate deal, and I will see myself walking away from the closing table after I bought it, rehabbed it, and sold it with a check. And I will imagine that till it's so real, okay? I'll imagine myself you know, having it flow smoothly. If when I'm looking for a particular deal or a new person to join my business, my network marketing business, what do I see? I say, I really fill my heart up with gratitude that I found a business that pays residual income. That's a couple other things about network marketing. You get a check every week. And once you build the foundation of your business, once you get some people in there, that check isn't just one time. It comes back over and over and over, and it keeps growing as long as you are continuing to grow your business. So that's phenomenal because, having worked for myself, I never had got a check every week. I'll tell you that much. In real estate, I get a big check, but it wasn't consistent, okay? With network marketing, it's almost what I call guaranteed income. Now, the reason I call it that, that's just my opinion on it, is because compared to any other business out there, if you do what they tell you to do, you are guaranteed to make money. Whereas in real estate investing, in coaching, in fashion design, in any of these other businesses, just because you worked hard, you weren't guaranteed you were going to make money. You could work really hard and your deal could fall through and you'd make no money or you'd lose money. You could work really hard and make a whole bunch of clothes and people didn't pay you and you lost money. You see what I mean? So, you know, really think about that, okay? That's an amazing, amazing thing. That if you just do these very simple steps in network marketing, you will make money. And that continues to build, and you make it every month, okay? If you sign up 10 people and you get a, you know, $300 check or whatever it is, then you're going to get that $300 check next month and next month and next month and next month. And then you add more people, and it'll go up. And it eventually becomes paid every week. So that's a very big deal. So what do you do to succeed in that business? Imagine yourself opening those checks, getting a check every week. Visualize opening it up. Visualize talking on the phone. Visualize feeling yourself excited to share the opportunity or the product. Feel before you get on a phone call, no matter what business, okay, before you get on a phone call with a potential client or some kind of potential sale, set your internal intention first, okay? See the conversation going well, the person answering, some friendly chit-chat, some great conversations, you easily and effortlessly and naturally answering any objections, giving them the information they need, answering their questions. And then what I like to do is I visualize myself every morning, I visualize myself sitting there filling out applications, you know, because that's what that means, that I've signed someone up. That means I've gotten somebody excited and into the business. So, you know, see yourself doing that. See the conversation going well. Imagine it with as much real sensation as you can. All right? Another thing is set your goal. Make it specific. Give yourself incentives. If you're working in a business by yourself, you're going to need to give yourself an incentive. The team I'm working with, the company I'm working with right now, and one of my businesses, the network marketing business, they set these phenomenal. They're going to take us to the Cayman Islands in February or March if we reach a certain goal. That's a wonderful motivation. You could win a laptop, a cruise, a Rolex, a Mercedes if you reach a certain level. They reward what you do, okay? So set yourself a reward. And then they took us to a fabulous dinner, wine, champagne, food flowing and everything a week or so ago if we reached a certain goal. Well, that was very motivating to me, not because I couldn't take myself out to dinner, but because it was just, it was so wonderful the fact somebody was willing to do that, and they gave us presents, and now we have a next incentive of a spa day if we do that. And you don't have to do that, but how wonderful for that. So give yourself that incentive. Say, you know, when I sell 10 pieces of jewelry, I'm going to take myself out to dinner, or I'm going to, you know, buy a new shirt or something. And then one of the things that works very, very well for me and worked last week very well is that, again, I went to So I wanted to go to that dinner. I wanted to qualify for that dinner. So what did I do? Did I visualize every detail in between? How am I going to find the people? What I'm going to do and all that stuff? No, I went right to the end result, and I saw myself at that restaurant, holding a glass of wine, cheering, you know, everybody saying congratulations, all of us laughing and talking and having a wonderful time. And I made that vision as real as possible. And that's what made me know and keep my faith and my trust that I was going to succeed, because that was so real to me. I kept saying, no, I know I'm going to be there. And I was. Okay. And so how does that attract clients? You see, that's, you're not focusing on the clients. You're focusing on the end result that you want, and you're letting the universe bring you what is required for that. And the last thing I want to touch on, excuse me, let me get, okay, excuse me, I'm very, very excited about all this, very passionate about this. The last thing is develop that faith and that trust, what I call put blinders on. Excuse me. It's like, I imagine I'm like a horse, you know, they put those things on either near their eyes so they can't see to the left and the right. I create my goal and my vision. Where am I going to? Straight in front of me. And I say, I'm not letting anybody distract me or anybody upset me or any negative thought or doubt to keep me from absolute faith that I am going to reach that goal, and that anything I need to reach that goal, more clients, more funding, whatever it is, will appear, because that goal is an absolute done deal. And I maintain the confidence, which means with faith. I keep the faith within me. Now, sometimes does it fall down? Yes, of course. But this is how you create anything in your life. But I'm not kidding you. If you will do this, you'll be amazed. You'll be up against a deadline. You'll say, oh, my gosh, I need three more people today, or I need X number of sales today. I don't know what I'm going to do. And if you get absolutely clear on that end result and you make it feel real to you, and then you relax and you go, the people are going to show up. The sales are going to come. I don't know where they're going to come from. They're just going to. And then you watch for them. You look for the opportunity.